Good evening. My name is Al Whitney. Welcome to In Defense of Humanity on this 28th day of October 2017. This program is about helping people reawaken to the wonderful qualities of our own species while accepting and understanding that the current corporate commercial legal structure, both government and business, is built upon is actively seeking to take control of most organic life forms on our planet. Restoring our unalienable rights and preserving our planet will require that we, the people, understand what has happened and learn how to empower ourselves as living men and women. Much of the information discussed on this show can be found on my website, anticorruptionsociety.com. If you need to remind yourself why humanity is worth defending, please read and enjoy the In Defense of Humanity page listed at the top of my website. I'd like to make new listeners aware that there is a free People's Empowerment Guide to our corporate commercial legal system on my website called Lawfully Yours. It is a collaboration of many men and women in the legal accountability movement. You can locate it by clicking on the Lawfully Yours tab at the top of my homepage. We keep adding to it as more information and ideas come to our attention. This guide contains valuable strategies for challenging the non-existent authority of our corporate government. Well, tonight I'd like to start the show with a parable that I think most of us are familiar with. But it's a good one, and it's applicable today. So let's listen for a moment. This is a write-up done that I found on really Wikipedia, but I thought it was really well done, so I just went ahead and copied it. And it's the parable of blind men and the elephant. For those who aren't familiar, a parable is a story that illustrates one or more instructive lessons on principles. The earliest version of the parable of blind men and the elephant is found in Buddhist, Hindu, and Jain texts as they discuss the limits of perception and the importance of complete context. The parable has several Indian variations, but broadly goes as follows. A group of blind men heard that a strange animal called an elephant had been brought to the town, but none of them were aware of its shape and form. Out of curiosity, they said, "We must inspect and know it by touch, of which we are capable." So they sought it out, and when they found it, they groped about it. In the case of the first man, whose hand landed on the trunk, he said, "This being is like a thick snake." For another one, whose hand reached its ear, it seemed like a kind of a fan. As for another man, whose hand was upon its leg, said the elephant is a pillar like a tree trunk. The blind man who placed his hand upon its side said elephant is a wall. Another who felt its tail described it as a rope. The last felt its tusk, stating the elephant is that which is hard, smooth, and like a spear. In some versions, the blind men then discover their disagreements, suspect the others to be not telling the truth, and come to blows. The stories also differ primarily in how the elephant's body parts are described, how violent the conflict becomes, and how or if the conflict among the men and their perspectives is resolved. In some versions, they stop talking, start listening, and collaborate to see the full elephant. In another version, a sighted man enters the parable and describes the entire elephant from various perspectives. The blind men then learn that they were all partially correct and partially wrong. While one subjective experience is true, it may not be the totality of truth. The parable has been used to illustrate a range of truths and fallacies. Broadly, the parable implies that one subjective experience can be true, but that such experience is inherently limited by its failure to account for other truths or a totality of truth. At various times, the parable has provided insight into the behavior of experts in fields where there is a deficit or inaccessibility of information, the need for communication, and respect for different perspectives. Well, I wanted to start with that because I've noticed there is a lot of difference in the conclusions that different legal researchers come to. And it's so much, very, very much like the blind man and the elephant. They tend to look at a certain portion of the legal system or the financial system or the government. They can spend many, many years being experts, going to law libraries. Most of the researchers I've worked with, they started their research in law libraries because the internet was not yet up. And I have to say, I really admire them for that, because talking to a law library every time you want to look something up, I mean, that is cumbersome to say the least. And you have to live in a city where there is a law library, and I don't think all cities have one. So I do respect all the research that's been done by many, many good people. However, it seems like few of them can see the whole elephant. And I have noticed that over many years, I've listened to so many of them. A lot of them have programs on TalkShoe, like Rod Class. Some of them have websites. Some of them have radio programs, even. And they share their perspective on what our legal system is and what it is not, what our government is and what it is not, and what our money system is and is not. Kurt Kallenbach is a wonderful researcher, but he thinks that the straw man is actually the placenta or afterbirth. Franco Collins, wonderful researcher, he thinks it's all about canon law. Kate of Gaia, another wonderful researcher, thinks that the Pope can and should eliminate all corporate charters. Again, Rod Class thinks that if you study this long enough, you can use their laws in their courts against them. And L.B. Bork thinks the Uniform Commercial Code is irrelevant. Now, former bar attorney Harmon Taylor and researcher author Ronald McDonald think it's all about Federal Reserve notes, and they are right. Our form of law is not based on the Constitution. It is based on the commercial use of a private currency. So I listened on Wednesday, which is why all of this came to my mind, to Ralph Winterod, who said, John, last, and he was sharing his research and his perspective. And I had a hard time with it. I'm going to say I had a hard time. I think Ralph has done wonderful research. I think Ralph is a good man. I don't want to get into a war or a battle with any of these gentlemen. And unfortunately, as John explain to me, that is not unusual for them to come to verbal attacks with each other. John told me there was a gathering, all the legal researchers on Jekyll Island several years ago, and they were hoping to come up with one perspective, one solution, one point of view that everybody could connect to and make this a movement that would have so much more effectiveness if all of these different researchers were going in the same direction. But that was not to be. According to John, they were just fighting like crazy. They were arguing all over the place. And I don't know if Winston Shrout was there or Irwin Schiff. I'm not entirely sure which legal researchers showed up, but it was completely unproductive. I mean, they did not get anything done. They were very much the blind men arguing each and every one of their particular points of view. And it seems like they had a difficult time seeing the issue in its totality. And that's not common. That's all over medicine, by the way. I mean, intentionally, they compartmentalize it. So, you know, the heart doctor isn't too good on what's going on with the kidneys, and the kidney people don't know much about what's going on with the heart, and on. So the total patient is getting just very disjointed care. In the case of my relatives, the family had to step in to try to coordinate it because these specialists weren't even communicating with each other. It was just plain crazy. But I did listen to Ralph, and I did want to make some comments. This is not in any way to diminish his efforts, but I do think he's misleading. I think there are things he hasn't looked at. I did try to communicate with him one time, and I asked him if he had read Senate Report 93549, because we were in the state of a national emergency, and he asked me if I could prove it, and I said, certainly. Let me send you this Senate report. This is the report that was done by a committee of the Senate in 1973. When you read who all was involved and how extensive it was, I don't think there's any question that it's a credible report with amazing information that we all need to know about what this permanent state of national emergency is. Well, he thanked me, and then I think that's it. I don't know that he ever read it. But when I was listening to him, he did say quite a few things that I totally agreed with. A lot of it is actually just real important stuff, like they're playing word games, like they have different definitions for the words than we presume they mean. And one, of course, is the person. So, again, he's absolutely right. It's a matter of them using terms and words that we don't understand, and we hope that some attorney will explain it to us, but they don't do a very good job because, for the most part, the public is still very confused about what this legal system actually is. But Ralph relies on Westlaw, and I had a hard time with that. He's just really, really committed to that forum, Westlaw. So I looked it up, and this is what it said. Westlaw is an online legal research service for lawyers and legal professionals in the United States and is a product of Thomson Reuters. In addition, it provides proprietary database services. Information resources on Westlaw include more than 40,000 databases of case law, state and federal statutes, administrative codes, newspaper and magazine articles, public records, law journals, law reviews, treatises, legal forms, and other information services. So it would appear to me that Westlaw is basically a product of the American Bar Association and all of the lawyers and government officials that are participating in both our courts and in our government. So I thought I would go back, and I did. I went back and listened again to the interview that was done. I believe it was done in August 2013. And it was an interview with Michael Bednarik on the We the People Network and attorney Harmon Taylor. Harmon is an interesting guy. He gave up his bar card. So let's start by listening to a description of Harmon. Can we play the first clip, please?
My co-host this morning is Harmon Taylor. You were a bar-certified attorney, and you've left that profession. You're no longer exercising that certificate. Can you just give us a little reason why?
Sure, and I appreciate the question. It comes down to the concept of conflict of interest, and if we apply the ethical code properly, then I developed a conflict of interest. We talked yesterday about the Terre Haute litigation a little bit. That totally changed my world. That was in 2001. By 2003, I had fully satisfied myself that that which is marketed to us is very, very different from the reality. What I had been asked to take an oath to was to support the rules and policies and even the mere existence of a system that set up to scan me, my family, friends, and neighbors across this nation. And I cannot lend my name to that. And it just comes down to that. So as I was fully satisfied in my own mind, didn't rush into it, obviously. It took me a couple of years to work through that. But as I satisfied myself fully that there was at the base an oath to support scams, I could no longer do that. That's what's in the letter. The rest of it has to do with scripture. We're not going to get into a Sunday school lesson here. I'll just mention very briefly. The Lord raises up beasts to devour and destroy the rebellious. The system we have is a beast system, and I have no intention of wishing well the beast by lending it my name. It's not going to do that. So on the legal side, it's a conflict of interest. How do you solve a conflict of interest? You withdraw from the representation. Okay, I'm representing the bar system and the judicial system that do not stand for the principles that many still think they do. It's not set up on constitutional principles. It is not set up on the law of the land, and I'm not going to lend my name to it. Scripturally, I'm supporting the wrong side there, and not going to do that either. So that's why I resigned. I was effective May of 2003.
Well, I welcome you to the program, and I think it indicates that you are a man of integrity.
Now, Harmon Taylor, I've listened to quite a bit of his interviews. He was influenced by his education. There's no question about it. We all are, actually. He has an awful lot figured out. I would say he is like a sighted man trying to explain the elephant to the blind men. And most of us are the blind men trying to figure out what this monster is called the government. What is this money system? And what is this injustice system that's being inflicted on us? I still think, now Harmon wrote a book, I guess it's, what did he say, it's 15,000 pages now, 1,500 pages, I'm sorry, 1,500 pages. Most people just simply don't have the time to read 1,500 pages, so I have not purchased his book. I don't think I could make it through all those pages. But another sighted man when it comes to the legal system and the government and the money system is my favorite that I mention all the time on this show, which is easy reading. It's not that big. It's attorney Melvin Stamper, who at one time was a law professor. His book called Fruit from a Poisonous Tree, which you can get on Amazon. In fact, I think you can even find it free if you do a search. Someone did upload it. It wasn't me. And then you can read that. And I wish all of the legal researchers, if my dream would come true, they would all read Melvin Stamper's book, because Melvin explains what happened and what we've got now. And he does so in an easy to understand way. Okay, we'll be back shortly.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
And tonight we're talking about our legal system again. And I was reminded just this last week that we don't all see it the same way, and we need to continue to hammer away at this elephant, describing it until we get a clear picture, because a lot of people can get hurt by going down the wrong path, and we frustrate each other, we frustrate ourselves, we frustrate the people who listen to us and read our material. So the better we are at describing this elephant, the more people will be able to understand it and see ways in which they can protect themselves from it. It is extremely parasitic. Most of the listeners to RBN, I think, are aware that the legal system is parasitic. There's very little justice in the courts. And the government has gotten even more aggressive since 2001. So I listen to a caller call into that program with Harmon Taylor on Michael Bednarik's show. And this caller was planning on becoming a lawyer. And he called in and asked a very interesting question. And I'm going to let you listen to the response because it is really revealing. Can we play clip number two?
Colin, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I'm wonderful. And you?
Oh, I can't complain. It's a great day. But I do have a question. I'm asking about his bar license. And just to give you a background, I'm getting into law myself. I'm finishing my bachelor's degree and wanted to go to law school because over the years I found all these problems, especially with the tax system, was the little thing getting me going. And what I want to find out is, obviously, we have a right to counsel. It gives the Constitution or the Bill of Rights gives us that. So what can we do without having...
Colin? Let me just interrupt you. Words are very important. The Bill of Rights doesn't give you anything. You are born with your rights, and the Bill of Rights, and specifically the Sixth Amendment, simply enumerates your rights. And that's a
Absolutely.
Really important distinction. That's a really important distinction. I hate to interrupt you, but the Bill of Rights doesn't give you anything. If it did, those would be privileges, and then the presumption is that the government and the Bill of Rights could take it away. So you
have the right to counsel. Yes, we have a right to counsel. So obviously, how can if I'm going to be attorney and I get a bar license or whatever, how can I properly represent or help somebody without that conflict of interest? Obviously, without having that bar license, how can this be changed to be able to still represent somebody and give them that those abilities?
The question is excellent. I really appreciate the call. Let's start at the foundation of the matter and understand what it is that can be licensed at all. What is licensed is commercial activity. The state of emergency that we were talking about relative to that Senate document in 1973 addresses that place where all of this commercial activity exists that can be licensed. So, applying that, what we have in your question is a mixing and matching of law of two very different places. We're saying, if we're in Great Britain, why are we subject to the law of Germany? And the answer is, if we were in Great Britain, we would not be subject to the law of Germany. Therefore, if we are subject to the law of Germany, that's where we must be. Why do we have a license to do this thing called practice of law? Practice of law is commercial activity relative to the Constitution-free maritime commercial zone. There is no such thing as practice of law under the law of the land. We read the concept about assistance of counsel, as Michael's identified, that's a Sixth Amendment concept. We read that there, and we understand that that is relative to the law of the land. Yes, so if we had a system based on the law of the land, there would be no such thing as a license to practice law.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America.
With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Because we are not dealing with a system that derives its authority from the law of the land, we are then dealing with a system that may regulate commerce. And in the regulation of commerce, they may fully say, you must be a member of this club in order to do this commercial activity. The conflict of interest then really isn't at the level of being an attorney and having the then authority or license or privilege of going into their courts and asserting the client's position in that system. The conflict of interest actually starts a lot earlier than that. Do we even want to be a member of that church? So, anyway, let me just say this. What I'm doing now would have been impossible if I had not taken the route I had taken. My blindness about all of that was not accidental. We can look in John chapter 8 and find out about the guy born blind. I was blind to all of this until I had already been practicing several years with the license. If law is a calling to you, do it their way. Go through the law school program, get through the bar exam, be licensed, go out, get all the experience in whatever area you want, and then reevaluate where you are. Why do I say that? One can start off from scratch doing the kinds of things that might help, but you're dealing without a lot of experience with the system, with people, especially in the court system, that's what I'm talking about mainly, who have absolutely no exposure to it. So what I'm suggesting is try to avoid being in the circumstance of the blind leading the blind. You will have a conflict. You will take an oath to support the beast, and that's exactly what that is. If you want to make a contribution in that area, may the Lord forgive us, but go ahead and do that. Why? Because then you'll see from experience how it really works.
And I want to thank Colin for his question, and before we go to the commercial break, I want to go to Bob in West Virginia. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Harmon.
Good morning.
I wanted to jump backwards here for a second on the property issue. Because you register your property, it puts it into commerce.
Correct.
Is there a way to take your property out of commerce?
Yes, and amen. Yes, there is. I don't know the exact time we've got here, but I'll make this short. There's the transaction itself, and then there's the registration of that transaction. What we do going the wrong way is animate the wrong capacity, the wrong time, the wrong place, typically the wrong property description. We use the wrong medium of exchange, we make the wrong choice of law, and we file that statement publicly. By doing that, we create interests in that property that actually are trust interests. It's those extra interests that are basically the basis for what we call property taxes. Okay, what then is the solution? We do another transaction. And in that transaction, we get the capacity correct. We do the time indication correct. We do the place indication correctly. We do the property description correctly. We do the choice of law correctly. We identify the proper medium of exchange. And then if we really want to make the political point, we'll add in some deed restrictions that talk about hypothecation of this property and put some restrictions on that. So in general, your question is, can we fix this? The answer is yes. We just got to understand how we got into it.
Okay, it was refreshing to hear an attorney, because most attorneys deny the fact that Senate Report 93549 that was completed and published in 1973 described in detail the permanent state of emergency that we are still under today. This is the war on terror. And every year, the president renews with the Federal Register the permanent state of national emergency, which keeps this game rolling along. It's amazing how many attorneys, when you mention that, well, I don't think they're stupid. I think they must understand how significant that report was and how it means the Constitution is basically on hold, and all of these executive orders and all these agencies that are being created have been created since 1933, have nothing to do with the Constitution and everything to do with administering the state of emergency. And it has only grown bigger and bigger and bigger over all these years. So I was pleased that he mentioned that. It's a valid document. It amazes me that when you show it to people, they act like, what does that mean? That can't mean anything. And you're like, how can you not see it? I mean, it says right there. We've been in a permanent state of national emergency since 1933, which is what Harmon talks about in the next clip, is what happened under Franklin Delano Roosevelt's watch. So let's listen to the third clip.
I have a real heartburn for the man who was president, elected in 1932, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And I have to be very careful, because whenever I start talking about Mr. Roosevelt, my language changes to reflect my mood.
I'll just mention here, sorry to interrupt, I did not understand the concept of hatred until I understood what happened at Pearl Harbor and what happened with the gold system. And, of course, I worked through that, but I never understood really what hatred was until I understood about that man. So I understand the language. If you slip, believe me, you're in wonderful company.
I agree with you. FDR was not my favorite person.
And, yeah, we can say it that way.
And very much because of what happened in 1933. Can you talk about 1933 for a while?
Sure. I'm expecting that what we're talking about here is the gold confiscation. And the key thing to identify there is that the people who had their property confiscated were those who had identified themselves as U.S. citizens here under the, at that time, the 14th Amendment. So those who were not U.S. citizens would have been victims of theft. Those who were U.S. citizens had, by that political affiliation, adopted that policy. But what happened there was gold confiscation. And again, what we're talking about when we are looking at removal of money, capital M money, from general circulation, be it the hard metal, coins, bars, that sort of thing. Or you'd mentioned, or I guess Bob mentioned the gold and silver certificates regarding land. That's perfectly good. It's evidence of an asset. So where we're talking about removal of that from general circulation, what we are seeing is evidence of a change that has already happened. If we had a law of the land-based system, removing gold or silver from circulation would be a crime. It would be a crime. It'd also be interference with contracts, because all the agreements would be based on what? That choice of law. So we already have in place by 33 a choice of law difference, by which it is then not a criminal act to go into somebody's bank deposit, safe deposit box, bank's safe deposit box, go into the property stored at the bank and take it. So, yeah.
That's theft.
Theft if we're under the law of the land system. That's exactly right.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. The purpose of the Constitution, ostensibly, would be to protect our lives, our liberty, and our private property. And every member of government, you know, at the county, state, or federal level, they all theoretically take an oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution. Now, we don't expect them to go down to the National Archive once a month and stand in front of a piece of parchment, do they? They're not protecting the actual Constitution. They're supposed to be protecting the ideals, the lives, liberty, and private property of those of us who live here in what is, called the United States. So, gold is property. You know, FDR was president of the United States, who presumably took an oath to protect and defend our property, and then with House Joint Resolution, and you can go to the Internet and search for HJR 192. HJR space 192, and you'll find all sorts of references to it. But House Joint Resolution 192 basically made gold illegal. If you owned gold, you were, quote, hoarding it, and you were supposed to turn in gold. I mean, how could the president who had taken that oath tell you that you're not allowed to own property if it is, you know, yellow and shiny?
Let's look at three different things, three different aspects of your question, and the break may be upon us before we finish this, but I'll hurry. What's he taking an oath to? We make a word game out of protecting the document itself. I will tell you that's not a word game. When we get into the occultic mindset and the double entendre way of thinking and the words that are used, that's the kind of thing that may very well go to mind. So it's physical preservation being secured. They can protect and defend it. They just turn that over to the archives. Legally, the Constitution of what they're talking about will be found in Titles 1 to 5 of the United States Code. Let's also go to another thing, HJR. When we read Article 1 and we read the process for a bill, what is the process by which language becomes law, in this case, law of the United States? That process is the process of a bill. A process of a bill. A bill and only a bill will ever become law of the United States. What does a House joint resolution become? Nothing. What's a resolution for? Internal operating procedures. Internal operating procedures. The only other reason to do a resolution is to make a public statement of opinion. We're going to congratulate so-and-so. We're going to recognize this as Groundhog Day, this sort of thing. A House joint resolution is never admissible evidence of law. And as regards property and money, you see, we're not just talking about property. We're talking about what constitutes money. Money is in and of itself not a legal question, but a political question. Signing on as a U.S. citizen as of that administration means we're confirming that we do not recognize gold or silver. Well, silver was still around. We're not recognizing gold as money. It's a political statement. If it's not money, who needs it? So they found a way to take it.
Now, I am stunned, appalled, and shocked that FDR could, you know, basically make those statements publicly saying that you have to turn in your gold. But what stuns me, shocks me, and appalls me even more is that American people would do that.
They
would,
exactly.
It's like, what planet were you born on? I mean, don't you, you know, you send me $25 in a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll teach you how to spot a con man. You know, it's like, this is insane. I can't imagine sending my gold to the president just because, you know, he said so. And that, as far as I'm concerned, is a very important, very key point in our history, because the Constitution, which is based in common law, and that's what we've talked about in the past, is common law jurisdiction. Common law is based on property. So in your case, you have a CD available, and that's a piece of property, and you are willing to exchange that piece of property for someone else's property, assuming that it's an ounce of, 999 fine silver.
Correct.
And so you exchange property for property. That, in my understanding, is a quid pro quo transaction.
And
that automatically falls under common law jurisdiction. And so if you take real money away and use colorable money, then you have to invent colorable law to adjudicate it.
I thought that was brilliantly said. If you don't have real money, you have colorable money, then you need colorable law to adjudicate it. And that's what we've got. And I have to say, Ralph Winterod is pretty good at pointing out what's colorable law. That much he has figured out. Unfortunately, going to Westlaw for validation is like going into the enemy camp. I mean, that is the American Bar Association's version of what's going on. All of those case laws, they're all a part of this system that Harmon Taylor and myself and many others are trying to expose. This is not a constitutional government. This is an artificially created, by stealth, commercial enterprise. People, they're all in commerce, and they want us in commerce, and they get us to volunteer to be in commerce on a regular basis. I will play one more clip when we come back from the break, and then we'll take calls. Stay tuned.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. Okay, we have one last clip. It's a short one. It's not even 2 minutes. And Harmon is explaining how we're getting involved in these commercial contracts. And could we play that, please?
What type of contracts do we get into that we are unaware of?
The contracts that we're unaware of being contracts largely arise in the taxing mechanisms. We've got unknown agreements with Social Security. We've got unknown agreements with our anything with the financial institutions. Banking, savings, retirement, investment, all of these sorts of things. We've got unknown agreements in our land, cars, boats, airplanes. Just about anything in the way of property that has a title to it will be part of the what I call the scam, be part of the hidden agreement.
So just about any time we sign our name, we can be literally signing our rights away or waiving those rights, and we don't even know it.
That's exactly right. And another critical thing there in the signature has to do with how the name is spelled and whether they need a commercial identifying number. Those kinds of things instantly tell us the choice of law. And where we can distinguish correctly the choice of law and where we properly negotiate those deals, then we're not blindly just doing what good Prussians do, which is doing what they're told. When we do what we're told, we've basically given away the farm and are now finding ourselves in a position of having to buy it back.
I did notice, however, when I listened to Ralph on last Wednesday, that he did admit to his listeners that when you buy a car and then you register it, basically, once you register it, you're giving it to the state, and the state puts its plates on it, and that is what binds you to all the laws, because now you're driving the state's car. People miss that. You know, they think they have the right to travel. Well, you know, are you traveling in one of the state's vehicles? If you are traveling in one of the state's vehicles, which has a license plate on it with the name of the state, you are in commerce, period, because you're driving their vehicle. So I was pleased that he did point that out to his listeners. He has an awful lot of these points absolutely correct, but the answer is not going to be in Westlaw, that is for sure. Westlaw is the lawyer's guide to this commercial enterprise that is in place, and it's entrapping us by the deception that is just ongoing. Okay, if you want to call in, the number is 1-800-313-9443, and we have our first caller, Chris from Las Vegas. Good evening, Chris.
Why, good evening, Alan. What a pleasure to hear you putting out such wonderful testimony from somebody who recovered from their fog of deception put on them by the bar.
You know what? I listened to him, and he said that when he first figured it out, he was literally physically ill for 3 days.
Well, when you put such a false belief in a system, in fact, in my estimation, from my discernment and my study, the word system is a reverse word, much like the word registration you're speaking of. A system really is the cancer, that's what a cyst is, or a lesion, of mood.
Okay, hold on, Chris. Hang in. We're going to take a break.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.